The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, no, light a lamp, and put it under the bushel, but on the stand, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Look at chapter 4 of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel and chapter 4, please, and verse 21. And he said unto them, Is the lamp brought to be put under the bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on the stand? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now turn, please, to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse number 33. No man, when he hath lighted a lamp, putteth it in the secret place, neither under a bushel, but on the stand, that they which come in may see the light. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy word another time. You will know that these words spoken by the Lord Jesus to many gathered around him, and no doubt when he said in verse 14 of chapter 5, ye are the light of the world, he was referring to those that knew him. He was referring to those that had trusted him, just as we have heard in the ministry already by our brethren beloved. And so I feel this is very interesting to see and to think that the Lord addressed them by saying, ye are the light of the world. Is it not so? Well, it is. For you can read in John chapter 8, and you can also read in John chapter 9, where the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, surely this is not a contradiction. Ye are the light of the world. And then in another passage twice he says, I am the light of the world. But maybe some of you would say, but maybe it's not the same word. Well, it is the same word. 70 times in your Bible and mine in the New Testament, this wonderful word light is used. And it's the same word in chapter 5 of Matthew as it is in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 9. So what a privilege. What a responsibility we have, not only individually, but I would feel corporately, to realize what we are. Ye are the light of the world. I wonder, beloved, how real that is in your life. I ask myself before you, how real is that in my life? Not only at conference time, and not only on the Lord's Day, but as our brethren have been reminding us, every moment we live, from the moment we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, right up until now, we're embraced, we're involved in this tremendous potential. In this tremendous reality, ye are the light of the world. I feel that this is something, of course, that is the Lord Jesus is personally, something that he is in himself essentially and most efficiently. But here is something that we can be spiritually, individually, and collectively. Now, I feel that is the most important issue. I want to think of ourselves collectively in this respect. Ye are the light of the world. And if I get that point to you this afternoon, then I have this point. The corporate potential of the fellowship of God's people, ye are. That is something that has come to us through the grace of God. That is something that characterizes us by the constitutional effect of the Word of God. And I feel very encouraged to speak like this with all that has gone before, with our brother's message on chapter 17 of John's Gospel. But when I think of the grace of God and the Word of God, remember, beloved, it is through the cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God that we collectively, as well as individually, can reach this, what we are. Then he said, ye are the light of the world. I'm going to call this the constituted power of the fellowship, the light of the world. I hope we sincerely believe that assembly with which you and I are associated, wherever it may be, has shining from it a luminosity that nothing else could equal. I hope we realize that, and I feel that's what the Lord is saying here. Ye are the light of the world. Not something that you might hope to be, not even something you would want to be, but something that has made it constitutionally our privilege and our portion to radiate the light that's necessary to bring the darkness dispelled in the lives of multitudes. My brethren, I hope and trust your estimate, and I hope and trust my estimate of our assembly testimony in whatever place it may be, is controlled and is characterized by this feature and by this constitution. It is the luminosity of the assembly. I think it's wonderful to think that it's the possibility. I think it's wonderful to think that many souls have come. And we've heard of that already today. Has it been a real joy to hear of the reports in different countries of people coming out from the darkness of the world of sin and in their own lives and finding that through the gospel being radiated, they're illuminated and brought into the knowledge of the God of light and love. Now, what is the conspicuous position of the assembly? The Lord Jesus says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Well, so someone, our hall's not on a hill. That may be so. We're not speaking about the building. But you will know, beloved, it is God's intention, and here revealed by his Son, his divine purpose, to give this character to every company of God's people that's gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. To realize that we're in such a prominent place of radiating the light of God to man and to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. I do trust that you younger folks, beloved in Christ, many I know today, nothing would fill my heart with joy more than to know you have come into this heartfelt appreciation of the assembly with which you're in association. I trust you to enter into its distinctiveness. I trust you can enter into its definiteness. And all because it is something that has been brought about by the Word of God. If we start to question it, we start to alter it, if we start to do other things that men have done, then of course we're not living in the good of these words. And I want you to understand, young Christian, that you're in a tremendous place of privilege. Graced by the Spirit of God, governed by the Word of God, and guided by His truth. A city set on the hill cannot be hid. But then someone says, what is the response? Well, we're thankful, as I've told you today, that in a place where we would be utterly despised in many ways, it's tremendous to see how God can work. And I'd love to hear many more of our brethren are with us tonight tell, and I listen to them when I have opportunity, of how God has used their testimony in lands afar and even in this country, where people are drawn, where people become enlightened, and soon and very shortly after, they find the joy of the fellowship of the assembly of God's people. Nothing gives me greater joy than to reflect on the night that I met my brethren in January 1939. And if I mentioned the names that were sitting before me, you know how I felt as a little boy. And the great late Mr. Robert Weir asked me a question. And I could not understand why he asked me such a question. Now you would know where Ebenezer is situated, don't you? Opposite, in those days, there was a Salvation Army Hall. And Mr. Weir looked at me, and I was only 14 years of age. He said, Thomas, why didn't you go across the street? Well, I wondered why he asked me that. That's the last thing I thought of. Well, all that I could say, well, if I had gone across the street, my mother wouldn't have let me back into the house. Oh, I don't mean that. Well, you see, I'm just a wee fella. But I eventually got what he meant. What he meant was, you're desiring to obey the word of God. I said, that's it. And you know, I'll never forget that. And coming into Ebenezer at the end of that month, in January 39, what a joy it was to think that we're now contributing to this tremendous potential of vital luminosity. A city set on the hill. Look at verse 15. Neither do men or women light a lamp and put it under the bushel. That's significant, isn't it? You will know that Matthew was what we call a publican. You will know that one of the characteristics of his great gospel is this. He's the only one that uses the word gold. Only one that uses the word gold. And you notice that all its terms are related to what we would call the business world. No doubt. And he's pointing out that if you're in the fellowship of God's people, you could be under the danger of the business. Putting a light under a bushel. I'm not questioning the right for having or the wrong in having a business. No, no. But even wherever I may work, or wherever you may work, whatever it may be, remember, your light is not to be put under the bushel. Wouldn't work, would it? And I had to shake hands with a brother. I don't know whether you saw him. I see him looking at me down there. He shook hands with me there. And I go back, and he'll tell you when. He came to me. I was only a wee fella. He said, I'm anxious to be saved. Well, I said, I quoted him a verse. And I said, go into the washroom there and don't come out until you've trusted Christ. That's what he did. I don't know why you saw him shaking hands with me this afternoon. We're back in 1945. Eh? I was only 15 when I went into shorts. In the month of September, the year the war started, as you know, I met a friend. I said, "You're a believer?" "Yes." "Glad to hear that." "So we have a Bible class here. We come and sit under the wing with the Word of God." "I wouldn't go near it," he said. "I said, why?" "Oh, brethren." "I said, what do you expect them to be? What do you expect them to be?" "I said, you're going to call them a big B, aren't you?" "You're right." "Well," I said, "you're wrong. I'm speaking about the late and the great Sidney Maxwell." Thank God at this conference, wasn't here, it was down the road, Wellington Place there, in December of that year. After a few months talking to Sidney, we got him to come to the meeting. You know, brethren, it's wonderful just to hear how God can work. The first speaker that afternoon was the great G.M.J. Lear from Argentina. He read from Deuteronomy about the place where the Lord would put his name. What followed was mighty. Going out of the conference, I said, "Sidney, what do you think?" He says, "Thomas, the assembly for me." Thank God for what God made that man to be. You see what I mean, brethren? I'm thankful that although I worked in the aircraft factory for 17 years, and I know it was a simple work, but thank God I didn't put my light under the bushel. In Mark's gospel, the light could be under the bed. "Not caring. I'm too tired to go to the meeting. Eh? I'm too tired to attend the ministry. I've enough to do." My brethren, listen. I know the assembly demands a lot. I know what it means in that measure. But listen. Never allow the need even for physical rest or relaxation hinder you in allowing the... When it comes to Luke, it's what I call a secret place. Here are three areas where the light could be undercover. That's not the point for lighting a lamp. Notice it's not a candlestick. No. I'm unfortunate in this sense. I love the KJV, but I don't like their use of the candle. There was no such a candle. Nothing. There were no candles in these days at all. It was a lamp, wasn't it? An oil lamp. And therefore, that's the need to realize the character of the message. Now, verse 16. "Your light," says the Lord, verse 16, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Your light. Here's something that's personal. Here's something that is collective and corporate. Received and relayed by the help and grace of the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God. What's next? To shine before men. Think of its radiancy. "That men may see your good works and praise you." No. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." I trust we realize, and allow me just to stress the need for recognizing the value of corporate testimony, of the assembly and all that it means, the truth of God in all its issues. Else, I feel we're going to lose tremendously. I trust the Lord will bless his word, because I have to go, if you don't mind. I came by train for the first time and I have to be out to get it. But thank God for the privilege, and gives time for another. And thank you for your listening to his word.